You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Welcome to the 138th Real Reading Podcast with me, Tom Canning,
and me, Rachel Nemeth.
Sorry, I've done it again, haven't I? I've
totally talked over you. You keep changing it every week. How am I supposed to know what to do?
Well, you just know. You just know what to do, Rach. That's how it goes. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and join our Facebook group, the Real Reading Podcast group. Coming up this week, we are all about villages. It's good villages, bad villages, and inter-village rivalries.
Oh.
Rach, you love a village, don't you? You're a big fan of a village.
Oh, I grew up in a village. I'm quite intrigued by your inter-village rivalry. I don't think I've experienced that.
Have you not?
Oh, no.
It's wonderful. And it takes place through the medium of football.
Oh, okay.
Because why wouldn't it?
There's a story there, isn't there?
Before we get on to that, though, I just wanted to explain as well. We are interviewing Dave Stewart, local ukulele teacher extraordinaire, part of the band The Rocket Kings, who have just launched their, I think it's their second album. We'll be speaking to Dave a little bit later on. So look out for the interview at the end of the podcast. Hopefully that will be a nice, enjoyable one. Their album is out. It's on Spotify. I think you can probably buy it in shops. Hopefully it's in your local HMV. Do we still have an HMV?
Yes.
Maybe. It shows how long it's been since either of us have been into town. Mm. But yes, their album is called Everyday Adventures. And I'm currently looking at it on Spotify. There looks like they do have another album called the Spellbound EP. That's 2018. But I've been listening to Everyday Adventures and I really quite like it. There's a song called Space Camp, which has caught my ears so far, which I very much enjoy. So I'll be talking to Dave a little bit later on. He may play a song or two. I don't know. We'll see what he gets up to.
Have you ever watched a ukulele band?
Oh, yes. Many times, don't you think?
They always look like they're having a lot of fun.
Yes, they do. They do. And to be honest, that almost trumps whatever comes out of their mouths. They could be good, they could be bad, but as long as they're having fun,
yeah,
that's all I'm really
they make
about.
You want to have fun with them.
Yes, and it sounds like you're on sort of something like a tropical Hawaiian island with a little blinky blink in the background, and it was lovely. I saw so Dave also has a sort of a more I want to say amateur, but I don't mean that in a negative sense. Another band called the Small Strings, who play various festivals. They played Burfest, where I saw them this year. They also played my festival in Bracknell, where they were brilliant, and they're just really, really good. As you say, they look like they're having lots and lots of fun. So I'm looking forward to talking to Dave a little later on, and do please go and have a little listen to their album. I really enjoyed it.
I think I saw I shouldn't probably be talking about Dave Stewart's rival groups, but there was a singer called Sam Brown, who used to sing with the likes of Pink Floyd and Jules Holland's Rhythm and Blues Orchestra and stuff. And she runs ukulele groups locally as well. And I think that's who I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah. Seen them having a lovely time.
That's always good fun. Well, before all of this, before we move into the meat of our episode, here is Jeremy with how you can get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
thank you, Jeremy. We're going to be asking you for your favourite villages. We've gone very local radio, Rach. Very local radio. What's your favourite village?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Are you asking me?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Just a second. I was asking the dear listener for their favourite village. So, a reporter by the name of Megan Samurai, who is one of the new reporters on Berkshire Live, has pulled together a little list of 7 Berkshire villages that belong in a fairy tale and are perfect for a weekend day trip. Do you want me to go through the list for you, Rach? It's not all.
Oh,
of
can
these
you hear me typing? I want to see where she thinks is fairy tale worthy. There we go. Okay.
So,
go on, then run through them.
Hurley. Hurley is in, it's between Marlow, Henley and Maidenhead. Apparently it was in the Sunday Times Best Places to Live in 2020.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what makes you go up and down the list like that.
Oh, I don't know, how you get promoted.
Yeah, I presume like it's when you get a Nando's or something.
I think that might take you the other way, wouldn't it?
Oh, come on, Nando's is like
I'm not dissing Nando's, I'm just saying it's not very like local villagey, is it?
Okay, maybe it's like, do you get a library or something? Or
you'd need, let's think about this properly. It'd need to be picturesque, I think.
Yes.
Decent pub.
Yeah.
Possibly a little
roaring fire.
Roaring fire and good local ales. Possibly a little local shop.
Yeah.
Put my parent head on, so maybe some sort of play area or recreation ground or like decent walks. Oh, I'm just like drawing my ideal village in my head now.
What are those, Rach, what are those, you know, where you know when there's like in a village, there's one in Mortimer, and it's like a little book library, but it's a box and it's like you just share, it's like a community.
Oh, I love
what
those.
Are they called?
You
just put,
oh, I don't
in,
know. Like a community library.
Yeah, something like that.
They've got one in Checkenden, just into Oxfordshire. It's in an old, it used to be in an old post, not post box, phone box.
Yeah.
But I think it outgrew the phone box and then they built it its own little sort of shed thing on stilts, and then you open the doors and it's like a little,
if anybody knows,
I think it's a lovely idea.
If anybody knows what those are actually called, there must be like an official name for those sorts of things. So the next one up is Chaddleworth. The picture of Chaddleworth has got a lovely thatched cottage.
Chaddleworth.
Place. No, never heard of it. It's out towards Hungerford and has a population of around 500 people.
Oh, it's little.
Yeah, it's very small. Bray, we've all heard of Bray.
Oh, yeah, it's very posh there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, according to the Telegraph, it's one of England's most beautiful villages to visit.
Okay.
It's got some iconic restaurants. I mean,
yes,
there's obvious. There's obvious, and there's obvious, isn't there? Cookham, also another one out towards Maidenhead Way, sits on the Thames. Great place to spend an afternoon walk, apparently. Now you can tell from some of these, I have been to none of these yet. This is going well. Sonning makes the list. The stunning village is made up of many old, large homes and naturally is located by the Thames. You're a bit of a sonningophile, is that right?
Well, don't get it confused with Sonning Common, because they are like 5 miles apart, I
goodness.
Believe. Yeah, Sonning Common was just the common land where the people of Sonning kept their livestock. Yeah, Sonning, I mean, it is very pretty and it's obviously really lovely on the river, and it's got some the theatre and the Bull pub and stuff. But I do always think when I drive through there, because it's quite a busy road, isn't it, that goes through. And you think, if you lived
bypass,
there and you lived right on that, if it had a bypass, it would be stunning.
What about?
I just don't know if I'd want to live on that busy road and pay
bridge.
A hefty price tag. Yes, that would that would solve a lot of that problem.
So I assume people
from Sonning are jumping up and down for it.
Yeah, if the people of Sonning sold some of their massive houses, Make a paper for a third breach, definitely. That's how it works, isn't it? She'll be along to tell me that's not how it works. Also on here, we've got Stanford Dingley. Now, a lot of these are either around Maidenhead or in West Berkshire, and we've been doing a lot of driving around West Berkshire lately. Sadly, not walking, because walking doesn't send my child to sleep very well. Driving does. Stanford Dingley, between Newbury and Feel. Now, Feel's obviously, the problem with Feel is it's right on the motorway, and it's right on the A4. So it's got a couple of really busy, noisy roads around it. But I always, every time I go to Feel, I think this is absolutely lovely. It's like a world away from it. I know this isn't Stanford Dingley, but Feel, the church in Feel is enormous. It's absolutely massive. If I didn't know any better, I'd say it was a cathedral.
Like disproportionate to the size of the village.
Yes, I think that's what I mean. Yeah, the church in Feel, I think, is disproportionate to the size of the village. But anyway, Stanford Dingley, between Newbury and Feel, dates back to the 12th century. And according to Megan, it has an interesting history. The name Stanford Dingley is believed to partly come from the alleged bodyguard of King Henry VI. According to the Berkshire Village book, the Dingley part comes from Richard Dinley. He was a son of Richard Dinley, Esquire, who was reportedly the bodyguard of the king in the 15th century. And then the other half of the name comes from William Stanford, who was the lord of the manor.
Okay.
The final one on this, which I have been to, Pangbourne.
Yeah, Pangbourne's nice. Absolutely. Quite a big village.
Yeah, cheese shop, though. Big, important thing for me, cheese shop.
Cheese shop.
Yeah, big thing. So, I mean, I there's a bunch of villages around that I've been. I quite like Mortimer West End. That's very potent. What about you, Rich? What have you got? What would you add to the list?
Oh, well, I'd have to throw, you know, my homestead of Sonning Common in there. So, but mine would probably be more north of Reading, because that's from where I came. Stoke Row is lovely.
Yes.
Do you know Stoke Row?
Yes, a little bit, yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of up sort of Henley.
Sort of bordering.
On the way to Oxford. Yeah, and it's got some lovely walks and like little shop and little play area in an orchard. And there's the Maharaja's Well that you can go and have a look. Yeah, it's just really, really pretty. Where else do I like? Harpston. Over on the way out to Henley. That's really lovely as well. I don't mean Harpston. Where is it? I'm looking at a map. Can you tell? Hambledon. That's what I mean. Hambledon.
Yes.
So there's lovely walks you can do from Hambledon. There's the lock at Mill End, and then you walk into Hambledon. And if you are feeling particularly sprightly, you could walk all the way to Turville, which is also very nice. Which up on the, a lot of things are filmed in Turville, like Vicar of Dibley, I believe.
Okay.
And up on the hill above it, there's a windmill that was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I think. Just throwing all my little local knowledge. And Nettlebed's quite pretty as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually, what made me think of Nettlebed there was when you were going, Pangbourne, cheese shop. It made me think of, there is a fairly new thing, I think, in Nettlebed called the Cheese Shed.
What?
That my dad was telling me about. I've just Googled it. The Cheese Shed is located at Nettlebed Creamery and welcomes walkers, cyclists, families, dogs, and anyone wanting to pop in for refreshment in a family friendly atmosphere.
Ooh.
Customers can choose from our cheese toasties made with our award-winning cheese. Oh, of course, it's just basically all the fare made of cheese.
Fair enough.
It sounds right up my street.
That really does, doesn't it? That sounds excellent.
Yes, I feel like a little trip out there might be required. Oh, is there anything better? There's a picture of a cheese toastie and they've cut it in half and they're lifting one half and all the stringy melted cheese is coming. I'm like, oh, my tummy's going to rumble. Delicious. Anyway, I've gone off on a bit of a...
That's okay. I'd be interested to know.
A diversion.
A lot of those... So we've done a bit of driving around sort of around that kind of north part. I think technically that's kind of north Berkshire, sort of north of, sort of towards Oxfordshire. Did a bit of driving around there and driving around West Berkshire. And I think, I'm not sure, like the village, like you could put them up against each other and try and work out who has the better villages. I'm not sure, but some of the West Berkshire villages are really cut off, kind of real middle of nowhere stuff. And I think that appeals quite a lot. I quite like Aldworth. There's a lovely pub in Aldworth.
Oh yes. Oh, we've talked about them haven't we, before?
Yeah.
Because they win awards for being great, don't they?
They do. And there's plenty more other places. Wolhampton is kind of drive through Wolhampton, but if you go around the back of it a little bit, there's some lovely little places. And Aldermaston, I always think Aldermaston would be kind of a bit of a big town, but actually it's sort of a real sort of little village. I'm not sure if it is a village or a town. I couldn't say right now. Certainly Google says it's a village, but Aldermaston is got some quite sort of pleasant architecture in there, although again I think a little bit like Sonning, it's a little busy on the car on the car front. But yeah, some lovely bits of village. Shall I tell you about the inter-village rivalry?
Yes, go on.
Because I think we've exhausted the... I think what we'd like to know, just before we move on, I think what we'd like to know is what are people's favourite villages? Again, very local radio, but we'd love to know which is kind of your go-to village for just a bit of winding down, chilling out, lovely walk, that kind of thing. I'd be very interested to hear back because this isn't an exhaustive list. It's seven villages. There's plenty, and we'd love to feature some of them as we go forward. Inter-village rivalry, then, through the medium of football. There is a competition called the Thames Valley Premier League. And in the Thames Valley Premier League, it's very much kind of a park football league, but you have Mortimer and Burfield, two villages separated by a bus route or connected by a bus route, generally speaking. They're right next to each other in West Berkshire, just outside Reading. And over the last couple of years, Burfield have very much had the upper hand in the football matches between the two teams, but on Saturday Mortimer won 1-0. I'm reliably informed it was a fixture where Mortimer, I believe they had an outfield player in goal. They scored early and then defended for the rest of the match. Burfield are a very good team. I've seen them play a couple of times. Anyway, the game finished and it was 1-0. And I believe it's quite a friendly rivalry. But there was then a picture on social media that went around with them. It was a road sign that had Mortimer and Burfield on it. And someone had painted the score next to each of the place names. So there's a lovely bit of inter-village rivalry, which frankly I'm all for. Anything to just stir up a little bit of mischief, I'm all for. It's a little bit like in Sonning, Rach, where you have the Phantom Knitter. Is it the Phantom Knitter? Or is it that someone goes around putting little bits of art up on things?
I think that's becoming a thing. I've seen on various Facebook groups people crocheting things and putting them on the top of post boxes and things.
Yeah. All that sort of thing. But also in Sonning, isn't there someone who does little art? There was a post box on the side of the bridge and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's quite frequently stuff on the little roundabout as you come in to Sonning from the Caversham side.
Yes, it's all a little bit, anything that just stirs up a little bit of interest and a little bit of intrigue, I'm all for. That tickled me. That did. lovely little bit of inter-village rivalry. We'll see if we can get it on the Real Reading podcast social media pages so people can have a little look at that as well. Rach, it's time for the interview.
Oh, good.
We'll be speaking to Dave Stewart. So Dave will be up in just a minute. In the meantime, should we say goodbye, listener?
Goodbye, listener.
Goodbye, listener.
The Big Interview.
Hi, everybody. I would like to say a very warm welcome to Dave Stewart. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Dave. This is your second time on our podcast. You are, I think I described you in the main podcast as our ukulele king.
Something like that. So, yeah, Reading's ukulele king. Yeah, I haven't forgotten. Yes.
Rachel did allude to the fact someone else did ukulele teaching within Reading. I'm not sure if that's allowed, but...
Well, I don't know them.
Do you have a strict no mentions policy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Dave, we've got you on because one of your bands, the Rocket Kings, have put an album out, and I've been listening to it, and I quite like it. As famously as a man who only likes three bands, I've been listening to your album, and I really quite like it. It's the Rocket Kings, and it's called Everyday Adventures. It's on Spotify. Can you buy it? We had this discussion in the main podcast. Can you buy it in HMV?
You can't buy an HMV, but there are CDs available. But at the moment, you'd have to either go on Bandcamp or message the band directly. And the CDs, and there's even going to be some very, very limited edition vinyl coming out. It's going to be a couple of months before that, and it's very limited edition because it's frankly, for a handful of people who are interested.
So let's start at the very beginning then. The band Rocket Kings.
Yep.
Why, how, when did it happen? What is the band?
Yeah, so formed in 2016. It was because I'd written a load of songs to play with Bex, who's a fellow member of the band, and we were just doing it for fun. Did some recorded some songs. Well, we quite like these. Maybe we should do something with them. So we kind of recorded some just kind of home demo kind of things, and then went, I know, we could play a gig. So I kind of went around things not the normal way, and I went and booked a gig, and then thought, right, I've got a gig, I've got some songs, but I don't actually have a band. So so then had to find a band and a name and managed to get a five-piece band together. So myself and Bex, and then Jess, who wasn't in the band at the beginning but is now in the band, she plays, so we all play ukulele and sing, and then David, who plays drums, and Greg, who plays bass, put it together, and we started gigging. So that was September 2016, and we've been going strong for that, that's what, 5 years we've just kind of been. We tend to play about maybe 10 or 12 gigs a year, and we put an EP out in 2018, which is also on sort of all the major streaming platforms, Spellbound EP, and then we've recorded this album. So and I must just say, before I forget, that the fact that you've said I really quite like it, I know that's quite high in terms of complimenting somebody and their music from coming from you. I really quite like it. I'm taking that as quite high.
as someone who I mean I don't know how high you should put that, really, because I'm not sure how much, I mean, in the music world, my opinion matters.
No, everybody's opinion matters. If you like my band, then everybody's opinion
fair
matters
enough, fair enough. So Dave, tell me about the album then. How did you go about putting it together? Are you doing this to make millions? Is it one of those things like, we just wanted to put an album out, we wanted to say we've got an album, right? Like, has it ended up costing you money? What's the story behind it?
Absolutely. It's a fun kind of hobby kind of project, which we just absolutely love doing. Yeah, it costs a lot of money to record stuff properly, if you see what I mean, as opposed to doing sort of home. I do a lot of home recording, so I do a lot of demos and kind of stuff at home, but actually to go into a studio and record is a very expensive kind of business. But we'd recorded this EP back in, I say, 2018, and then we didn't mean to record an album. It sounds a bit odd, but we didn't. we did it by accident. We asked somebody to record, do a recording of a gig we were doing off the mixing desk, so we'd have a live kind of recording of it. But without going to the full detail, something technically went wrong with the recording. So the guy doing it, Al, said, look, do you want to come into my studio? I've got a recording studio. Come into my recording studio, record a few songs, and we'll kind of do them as live, and that will kind of, then you'll kind of have something, and that will kind of work well. And by the time, it took another year for us to actually sort of time to go and do that. So we started this in late 2018. By the time we went in the studio, we ended up going, actually, we could just record some drum tracks and some bass and then just start, you know, putting stuff together with no great intention of what we'd end up doing with it. And it just sort of snowballed from there. And then we spent, you know, a year and a half recording it sort of in various kind of points in time and just going, actually, we want to do all the other songs we hadn't already recorded that we played. And then I started writing some more songs. So we put some more songs together and started recording a few of those. And then we were on the, and we found a guy called Josh McCrian over at, we recorded in South Hill Park in Bracknell, got on brilliantly with him. And we just kind of clicked, and like finding somebody who produces and engineers and records who you get on with really, really well is really important. So we had a great relationship with him, and we loved everything we did. So really enjoyed it. And then we got to a point where it was all recorded. We kind of think we'd done a first mix, but it wasn't quite ready. And then the pandemic hit. So it would have come out last year. And then we thought, let's hang on. And say, well, partly because Josh couldn't get into the studio to finish off the mixing and the mastering. And then and we thought, well, actually, we don't really want to put it out till we can gig again. So we can kind of be playing these songs kind of live. So we've kind of held on to it. But actually, you know, that gave us time to think about artwork, think about song orders, think about how we actually want to do it and whatever. But it fundamentally, that's the long answer. The short answer to your question, we do it because it's a bit of fun. When, you know, we lose money off it, you know, but it's you know, it's kind of, I love doing it, but you know, we all love doing it, and it's fantastic to have a record of the quite lit, just pun intended, a record of what we what we've done and what we do, and it's great to be able to go and play gigs and be able to go, look, here's go on Spotify or whatever, or have a CD and go and listen to the songs as well, so which is great fun, you know.
So as the songwriter then, where does some of the inspiration come from? I feel like that's a song that a question that a music journalist would ask. Where do you get your inspiration from though? The song Space Camp, where's the inspiration?
Well, I can tell you exactly where Space Camp. So things come from different areas. So Space Camp comes from, so Beck's in the band. So she went to Space Camp in America on a school trip back in, I think it was 2015. She went on the, and effectively that's the same, that's at NASA. So that's the actual training you go and do to be an astronaut. And you know, obviously that's an amazing thing to do. But so I then sat down, I thought, I'm going to write a song about this. And so I sat down and I ended up, I think, writing in my, I've kind of got a little notebook and ended up just writing down all, I talked to her about it and told me all the things she'd done, just wrote all the things related to space and space camp and stuff, and then just tried to put stuff together. And it became this song, Space Camp, which is great that it's based on some, you know, something that actually happened, which isn't the case with everything that I do, but you know, normally most things have some kind of trigger. But it may just be a little trigger, whereas Space Camp really is based around something that actually happened, which is sort of ironic if you look at some of the songs, and that's sort of maybe one from a content point of view that's slightly different to some of the other ones, where actually that one, you know, I didn't just make that up. Yeah. that was based on, you know, stuff that happened about, you know, weightlessness and centrifugal forces and all that kind of stuff. So.
Do you have a favourite?
I have a few off the album, probably Rendezvous, which is the Become the Band sort of favorite one, which we made a video for, but I have a soft spot for pretty much all of them. I don't know, I think I go through little phases. The band all know that one of my favorites is Atlantic Dreams, which was actually off our previous EP, so they always tell me that perhaps we should not necessarily play it at every gig, and I say no, it's gonna get played at every gig. But stuff changes a little bit over time, I kind of like them all really, but yeah, they goes through little phases, I think. So
Just to round things off nicely, tell me about the artwork.
So the artwork always becomes a challenge in the fact that you want something interesting, but it's, you know, it's very difficult to just sit down and go, right, what do I want? What do we want on the artwork? But we'd spent a little while, and then Bex had taken this picture of a house in Oxford, in the outskirts of Oxford, in Headington, which has the shark through the roof. And that was a few years ago. And so at some point we were just talking about stuff and went, wow, that would be a great bit of artwork. And I think it was probably around the same time we were trying to decide what the album was going to be called. We spent a long time trying to think of the album name, and we came up with this Everyday Adventures, and thought how nice to have something that's sort of very much not the norm with an Everyday Adventures kind of name. So we found this picture of the shark in the roof. It's quite a famous kind of thing. I've got to confess, I've personally never seen it. I must go and have a look. But it's kind of a well-known landmark. It's been there for I think it was the late 80s. It was put up there, and then we just kind of went, yeah, let's kind of go with that. And the irony, of course, is the fact on that picture on there, the only thing that's not had any Photoshop or anything touched up on it at all is the shark. So the sky's kind of obviously been changed. But even the house and a bit of the sort of trees and stuff around have had little bits and bobs. The shark is exactly as it looks in real life. And then we sort of decided, well, quite like carrying on the theme. So the back of the CD's got kind of the sky and the sea, and it's got a little shark fin and kind of stuff as well. So, we just kind of liked how it ended up looking. We tried out a few things and it's hit it, you know, and a few people have picked up on it. I was on I did a little thing on BBC Radio Solent a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing they picked up was, "Well, I love the artwork. Tell me about it." And they didn't know about the shark. They didn't know about the house either, so it was just kind of interesting. So
for the people that don't know, it's an interesting thing that it's actually real.
So the guy I talked to there just went, "So who came up with the great Photoshop idea?" And I went, it's real.
That's fantastic. Dave, just to sort of finish off, obviously I'll give you just a chance to plug your work in a minute, but where, if people want to have a listen, where can they find it? It's Everyday Adventures by the Rocket Kings. Where can they go to find it?
So you can go onto every single streaming platform, whether that be Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, and I think there's about 30 or 40 that it goes kind of out to. Facebook page is just Rocket Kings, so go and find us on Rocket Kings and you'll find all the links there. We've also got a YouTube channel, so there's a video we made for Rendezvous that came out about a month ago, and there's another video coming out probably later this week, which actually was filmed all around Reading. So has lots of local Reading spots. So that's coming out that's for the song Green Zone. And that's coming out sometime this week. So that's on our YouTube channel. And then we've got Twitter and Instagram and everything as well. But if you're interested in a physical copy, then just message the band. Bandcamp, I think you can get them directly from there as well.
And Dave, just to finally finish off, obviously you teach ukulele as a business. Just if anybody wants to learn the ukulele, perhaps join one of your several bands, where can they go to find out a bit more about your work?
Best thing would be, so the other sort of things that I do are I run lead a group, as you know, Tom, called the Small Strings, who are based in Reading, play lots of kind of gigs at festivals and various kind of events. So we have a website just called thesmallstrings.com, where you can find all sorts of stuff on there, and you can also contact me through there as well. I also have a group for the over 60s called Tea and Jam, which is part of Ready Pop. I teach one-to-one kind of adults, children, other stuff in school. So anything you want to do about ukulele, so either go through the Small String site, find me on Facebook, or daveuke@outlook.com is my email address. So I'll make that nice and easy, daveuke@outlook.com.
Dave, thanks very much for coming on the podcast today. You very kindly allowed us copyright privileges to play out one of your songs. Which one shall we play?
Thanks very much for having me on, Tom. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. I think we ought to play Space Camp by Rocket Kings, as we've talked about it. So, yeah, this is Space Camp.
We're going to space camp, training mission day.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.